Okay, so Dmei Shvi'ah. Yeah, great sugya. Let's do this. So, we ended up spending all of yesterday on that first half of Gemara with the Haro from Chaim Kanievsky, which is wonderful. So now the Gemara continues. Acharon, acharon nitbas bashvit bapeiri atzmo asur. So the money that is used to buy Perut Shviat. So the halacha is, it's a very odd halacha, but Perut Shviat always remain kadosh. And the last thing that you buy with the money of Perut Shviat are kadosh, and nothing in the middle. Right? So if we have
orange.
Can you say Shviat orange? Okay. Okay, so Mordechai. Well,
trade, no?
Say, so Mordechai has. He wants the soul. We have a rotting apple. That's disgusting.
We should probably
throw everything. Something get double.
We have
sugar with ants in it.
This is a great day. Okay, great day for food here.
Oh my! We're not big.
Okay, fine. So we have the orange. Okay, we have the orange.
I wouldn't eat that orange if I were you, Morty.
And here we go. Fine, so we have the orange. Right now the orange is kadosh. Okay, now I buy the orange for
$20.
$20, a very expensive orange here, apparently. Okay?
Good deal.
Right? So now yes, a great deal for you, not for me. But okay, a Hefker, I just bought a Hefker orange for $20. Okay, fine. So now, what is kadosh? Both of them. Good. Now, give it to him to pay $20 for the rotting, for the ant-infested sugar.
Oh, thank you. I always thought it.
Okay, good. Now, what is kadosh? The orange and the sugar. And the money is not kadosh, is mine. That's it. Right? So that's halach. The first one remains kadosh, and the last one remains, and it becomes kadosh. What? No, there's no such thing.
So like, what happened?
It's like a stat multiplier issue.
That's just not.
Is that like, are you allowed to do that? Because you're getting rid of Kusha Shvius on the level.
I mean, you're not.
You're using the dimension you to buy Shvius fruit.
Okay.
So instead of having two things that are Kiddush with Kusha Shvius, now you only have one. Which is that.
Or maybe the money would stay. I don't know.
Would the money stay?
I'm not sure. Okay, so this is what we call Shvius Tofeset Duh. So the Gemara clarifies, Haketzad, what's the case? Lakach bevirud shvit basar. Right, so I take this and I trade it for meat. Okay? Elu ve'elu mitba'aren ba shvit. So the lacha is that now this orange and the sugar has to, when it comes to man bi'ur, the orange and the sugar are both subject to bi'ur because they are both kadosh. But lakach ba'basar dagim. If I take the meat and I buy fish, yatsa basar v'nitbisu adagim, so the meat is now not kadosh, the fish is, but what about the orange? The orange still is. V'lakach, right? V'lakach v'dagim shemen, yatsu adagim v'nechan shemen. Sometimes you feel like the Gemara is just like, in case you're stupid, let me spell this out for you, right? And then if you take the fish and you buy oil, the oil is now kadosh. Ha'acharon, acharon nitbas, b'shvi'it. The last thing that's bought is kadosh, b'kedushat shvi'it. V'ha'pere, atzmo, asur. And the fruit, the original fruit, which is still this orange, which is somewhat edible, as opposed to all of that stuff, is...
Sorry.
Is kadosh. Okay? So the Bavli has this sugya, and then both the Bavli and the Rishalmi have the following question, which is, okay, I want to just read it through once, and then we'll come back. Ba'u minet, mei Rabbi Yochanan. So then they asked Rabbi Yochanan, shvi'it ma'u shetetze derech chilul. Right, so now we have offered a model in which you can remove Kedusha from Dmei Shvi'it through a sale. Correct? Now the Gemara wants to know, is the only way to do it through a sale, or can you also be michalel? Can you now? What's chilul?
Make it full.
Right. So right, it's to be poda, to redeem it. Right. Can you redeem it not through a kinyan? Now the interesting question is that it's not 100% clear when you read this Gemara what we're talking about. What are the two objects that the Gemara could be talking about? The money or the subsidiaries, or, and the Gemara is asking whether the subsidiaries objects can lose their kedusha not only through a transaction but also through a direct pidyon or even the fruit itself, right? Right. The Gemara, at least here in the Yerushalmi, when you read it, it's not 100% clear. The Gemara might be asking whether you can remove kedusha shviyat from the fruit, right? The Gemara. The bodily doesn't seem to be that's even a possibility, right? The truth is that when you read this line in the Yerushalmi, it's not 100% clear that that's not what it's asking.
How can you say yes to that then?
What I kind of
now mean, the
you don't find
that. Right. So, and as we'll see, right, it's not so clear that the Mefarshim don't accept some version of this. So the Gemara says, "Amar lehu v'lama lo." Why not? So Amar Rabbi Lezer, Ein Shvit Yotzei Derech Chilul Ella Derech Mechira. So the position of Rabbi Eliezer is that it's only through selling. Now, based on that line, which do you think? What do you think Pshat in the Gemara is? Do you think Pshat in the Gemara is that we're trying to remove the kedusha from the original orange or from that sugar?
From the sugar.
The sugar, right? Right. Why?
How can you say yes to that?
What?
How can you say yes to the original orange?
Right, so first of all, but even just linguistically, right? Even just linguistically, right, by saying that it's Yotzei Derech Chilul and not, it's not Yotzei Derech Chilul and it is Yotzei Derech Mechira, that means that you have to read the second half of the Gemara in light of the first half of the Gemara.
Yeah.
And as we said, when you sell this orange, the orange doesn't lose its Kedusha. Right, so even though the language is open to both possibilities, right, which is, can you remove the kedusha from the orange, or can you remove the kedusha not through a sale but through straight redemption of the sugar? The context makes it clear that the second is probably the better shot, but we do have to acknowledge that the language isn't 100% clear that way, at least from the get go. So then the Gemara says, so the Gemara here, now this is much clearer in the Bavli, as we'll see in a minute. In the Bavli, this is presented as a explicit machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer. Are you allowed to remove the Kedusha from the subsidiary objects through chilul, right, through a direct redemption, rather than through a sale? Here, the Gemara, classic Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi doesn't say, Rabbi Yochanan says X, and Rabbi Eliezer says Y. What does it say? Rabbi Lazar says no, and Rabbi Yochanan says why not, right? Yeah. Why not, right? Like, what was your haba amina, right? So that's the way that the Gemara then presents it as a machloket. Is one person who says yes, and the other one who says I don't see why not, right? I'm not saying yes. I'm just saying I don't see why not, which is a yes.
So Majuda Mas Messiah. So the Gemara says we have a brisa to support both. L'Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, kol mi sheyesh lo ma'ot mi d'mei shviyit. Anyone? Now, in the Braita, it's very clear that, despite the ambiguity in the original language,
right,
we're talking not about the original orange. We're talking about the money, or that which was bought with peret shviyit.
Right.
So, kol mi sheyesh lo ma'ot mi d'mei shviyit, v'rotza l'chalol on al isato, and you want to redeem it on your dough, not money. Dough, actual dough. I understand that. Dough can mean multiple things, but dough.
It's not used like that in America anymore. I
mean, what?
You don't use that anymore.
Yes, I understand, but it's in theory.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
It wasn't like you didn't know that that was a expression that at some point meant money, right?
Yeah, but nobody
used it. I didn't say people used it. I'm just, what? It's fine. It doesn't make it not correct English.
No, it doesn't.
No. I don't, I'm trying to think if I've ever used the phrase. I don't think so. But I don't know. Mechalalo, you can, right, desanctify it, desacralize it. Okay? So that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Matzniz and Messiah, and there's a brisa which supports Le Rabbi Lezer, Le Azar, Eliezer, whatever. Mishiesh lo sella mid Meshvir, if you have money from Meshvir, Rocha Likach lo Chalo, can you want to buy a shirt? This is Elazar, you're right, Elazar. This is Le'azar because the Aleph just falls away. So
it could drop two.
But this is Rabbi Elazar.
It could be Eliezer.
No, because that would be Liezer.
But they drop two Aleph.
No, that'd be Yud. It's Yud. Don't ask me why they drop the Aleph and not the Yud. I don't know. V'rotza likach chaluk. You want to buy a shirt? Which you're not allowed to do. So holech etzal achenveni haragil etzlo. You go to your makolet that you normally go to. V'omer lo, and you say to him, tainli bazu peiro. You say, give me fruit. V'hu, no tainlo, and he gives you. V'omer lo, and then I tell the shop owner, hare peiro ta'elu nitunim l'cha v'matana. These fruit are now a gift, our gift-giving, yay. V'chen v'omer lo, and the makolet guy, right, you're going to someone you trust, but this is one of those things you learn about yeshuvim. It's like people trust their makolet person with their life. It's unbelievable, right? Especially like old school, right? There's like one makolet in Efrat, which has moved around, but the owner is the same person who owned the only makolet that exists in Efrat back like 40 years ago when it was a few houses on a hilltop and there was no tunnels and like, you know, it was impossible to get there. So like the people who grew up in Efrat are still like loyal, you know, like one of my neighbors is like grew up in Efrat. And when she needs something, it's like, there's a milk shortage? Doesn't matter. I will get them to reserve the milk for me at the makolet, right? It's like this long relationship. So you get that type of right, so you get the person that you trust that's not going to say, okay, thank you for the present.
It's like you're
making yeah.
This sella, this coin, the money is given to you as a gift back.
Right, you need the person that you trust, right? You need the person you trust, right? There was a one of the Rebbeim in Gush used to learn with, as the story goes, with Rav Lichtenstein's son, one of Lichtenstein's sons, Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein, who was apparently machmir that you shouldn't drink out of Snapple bottles because Snapple bottles are potentially permanent and therefore they need tevila, right? So what he would do is the halacha is you can use... You don't need to eat from something that was nitbal, only if something's owned by a Jew, right? But if it's owned by a non-Jew, or it's hefker, then you don't. So what he would do is, before he would drink his Snapple, he would say, it's hefker, but at some point, this other Ram who learned with him, you know, he said, this is hefker, so he said, fine, and he took it, and he drank it, because like, you know, there's only so much you could, you know. Thank you, right? So you need someone you trust, because otherwise that will be what happens. V'achen v'ni omer lo, and the shopkeeper says to him, "Hare selazu netuna lecha b'matana." Here is the money, as a present. V'uchozer lekech l'chaluk. So this way, you through sale, you have desacralized the money.
Yeah, how right? is this a sale? They're giving matanos. This is not a sale.
No. First, he bought fruit, right? Remember, first there was an actual sale.
The says it has to be right.
Correct. So he bought the fruit. The money, the fruit weren't shviya. He had money, which was kedusha shviya. He bought other fruit.
I thought the chenveni gave him a sella.
No. Okay.
The chenveni gave him a sella. That's what it says.
Okay. Right? Okay.
That's good.
This is kedusha shviya. Okay? Good?
Yeah.
I now... God.
I have money. Jeremy, I have money.
Doesn't matter. Here. Okay? Fine. Okay, thank you. Here you go. Okay, now this money is Kadosh. Kadosh. And I want to take this and I want to buy a shirt. Right? No, he does. Right? Sella Mishi, you shall sell me Dmeshviat. I have money of Dmeshviat. Verotze likach lo chalo. Can I want to buy a shirt? Oh, go get me. This is the case. Go, go, go. So this is what we have. We have money now that's kadosh, and I want to buy a shirt. Can I buy a shirt with this?
No.
No, it's kadosh. So what do? I...
Hold this.
Wait. Okay. These oranges are worth 50 shekels.
Okay. Now, what do? I buy this off of you. Now, what happened? Derech Mechira, what happened? The Kedusha is now on this orange. So this is the original Kadosh orange, and this is the non-Shemitah orange that has now become Kadosh Kedusha Shviyat from the money. Right? So now this money, can this be used to buy a shirt?
Yes.
What's the problem? Josh doesn't want a shirt. I want a shirt. Right? So now what do? I go and I say, here's an orange as a present, but it remained kadosh. Why? Because this wasn't a sale. I just gave it to him. Josh says, here is a 50 shekel present. Right? And now I say, magically, I have desacralized money. And now I say, can I buy
my jacket? No, because I like it.
Josh, you should have just run off with the 50 shekels.
It's a gift.
Thank you. Okay. Right, that's what this is.
Wait, so that's the third,
So this orange now was not originally Kadosh Kedusha Shviyat, but it desacralized this money. Right? And then we gifted each other. We gifted each other back.
That's the context of this brisa. Doesn't say anything about that being the third.
It's not saying that. I have money, which is kadosh, which means there was a previous sale that imbued the money with kedusha. I want to buy a shirt, which I can't. So what do? I go to Josh, my makolet owner. I first buy with that money fruit because that puts the kedusha. It puts the money. It puts the kedusha in the fruit, and then
that's so weird.
It is. And then we gift each other.
Rabbi, the price is not proven. That's the only way to do it. It's just
saying. Also, Rabbi also said, "Why not?"
You know, because what the Gemara is assuming is why go through this whole nightmare if you could just desacralize it.
Maybe the way to desacralize it is a bit harder than this.
But that would be mechira. No, desacralized. Normally,
has more steps than
with Meister Shani, let's say, where you have pigeon. How does Meister Shani pigeon work? Here's
this is Meister Shani.
I don't want to schlep this to Yerushalayim. I say this is now redeemed on this money, right? And now I take that money, right? And now Kobe takes the money and goes to Yerushalayim and buys whatever he wants, whatever food he wants.
Which is harder?
What? So you get shawarma,
Another way to do it, just hurt.
No. So he says the fact that I go through this whole. First of all, it's much easier to just say I can redeem it than to say I have to do these.
Why the heck would I do that when I'm redeeming it? But dinner also tastes good.
It's not proven. There's no other way possible to do it.
But that's the way the Gemara takes it. Is I wouldn't go through this nightmare if I didn't have to. Okay? So then the Gemara says...
Rabbi, would an option between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar be that, like, if you have this, you said she had money, well, Rabbi Yochanan would say that you can transfer the kedusha of this money onto other money, like, whatever... Just the value of the money can be transferred.
Right, so presumably, right, that would be the same thing, right? If you could desacralize it, you could just, right, you could transfer it from one to the other.
Right, because I find it a little bit weird that you need these specific, what other halachos have it that you need these specific money, these specific coins that you set aside? Or is that like any time you set aside coins? If you set aside this money for tzedakah, you're like, wait, I seem to have misplaced that money, so
that gets complicated. It depends how you did it, but I mean, Tzedakah's not kedusha, but okay. Then the Gemara brings a case of Rabbi Yochanan shati chamra v'yahiv piritoi. There, Rabbi Yochanan used to drink wine, and then he would. He would pay, right?
But Rabbi Yochanan would be
right. So now. Right, according to some of the Farshim, this is saying that this is not a problem with Priyat Chov. As we'll see, there are other Perushim on it, so we'll come back to it. Okay? And then the Gemara gets into... but you know what? Let's pause here for now, okay? So this is the basic sugya, right? The basic sugya is this. Now, as I said, we have a version of this in the Bavli, right? It really takes up an entire Amud, but I did not give you the entire Amud, but it takes up an entire Amud from Mem Amud Bet to Mem Aleph Amud Aleph in Sukkah. But you get, right, this halacha that Shviyat Tofeset et Domeha, et Shemitah produce. Make the money kadosh ne'emar. So now in the Bavli we get what we don't get in the Yerushalmi, which is ki yovel hi kodesh tiyeh lochem ma kodesh tofeses et damav ve'asur av shviyat tofeset et dameha ve'asura. So in the Bavli we find out that what is the source for this halacha? That it is kadosh. Right now, even though the Yerushalmi doesn't mention it, many of the Mefarshim, since they don't have any other better source for it, assume that this is the case. So, for example, if you looked at the Rosh Cirilio, right, the Rosh Cirilio quotes this exact drasha on the Yerushalmi to explain that presumably the Yerushalmi agrees with the Bavli. Now, as we noted, I think it was 2 days ago, right, that Josh asked, why does the Mishnah seem to switch in the middle to a totally different topic? The first half of the Mishnah was about what? Yeah, it was about mixing truma and shviyat and stuff like that, which in turn is derived from a sugya in kachim, right? Of mimai zman and things like that, and then it goes to the sugya about to make shviyat, and we suggested that maybe, and this seems to be what emerges, is that maybe they are derived from the same thing, meaning the fact that we derive these halachot from kachim is based on the idea that shviyat is also kadosh. But as we saw, if you remember, we did this extensively, you always have to keep in mind that to what level is shmita kadosh? That is a big machloket. Remember we saw that? We saw that in Perek Daled. Is it kadosh or is it... And remember, we saw there that... Where did we compare it to? Kiyovel, the kodesh yelachem, do we compare it to the year? Do we compare it to the land, right? Is the Kedusha Kedusha, or is the Kedusha of Shviyat really designation, right? Yud, and not Kedusha in the natural way. But this is one of, right, and Bizayon or something, and this is one of the, and we talked about it in terms of the Sugya of bathing and anointing and stuff like that. But this is another data point in the discussion of to what extent do we really believe that Kedusha Shviyat is Kedusha.
I mean, because if you like, go all the way.
So what evidence do you have in this sugya that it's Kedusha? What evidence do you have that it's not really Kedusha? Give me the evidence that it is Kedusha.
Doesn't get removed from the pre, like, compared to the original pre.
Well, so the very simple reason to say that it is Kadosh is that we compare it. Yovel ki kodesh lechem kodesh tofes lemet. Right, the language points in that direction. Why would you say maybe not?
Because
think about the classic cases like Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni, we said by Pidyon, what happens? I redeem it, and that's it's done, yeah. Right? It's done.
Well, not all Kadosh, because
oh, good.
This is
very good. So Mordechai says, well, the fact that it's not exactly like Meiser Sheni, and it retains its quote unquote kedusha. So you might have looked at that and said, this isn't really kedusha. It's more about something else, a designation, and then the reason the original fruit retains its kedusha is because, you know, it is designated for a purpose. But there is a certain halacha that, I don't know, it's similar to kedusha, and we have like some parallel system. It's not really kadosh. On the other hand, Mordechai notes, no, maybe it really is kadosh, and even though it doesn't parallel Meiser Sheni, it might parallel other things where, yeah, there are cases in Karbanot where the original stays kadosh, and other things like Tmura, that's right. Right? Hu Tmurato, yeah, kadosh.
Why is that a disproof for it being kadosh? Isn't that just a more of a proof to say that?
And Kobe said, well, maybe not. Maybe it's super kadosh, right? Maybe Meiser Sheni is kadosh, but you thought that was kadosh. Shviyat is even more kadosh. I mean, now, that's a little bit weird,
I mean,
because,
it
you know.
Because
so this is really the problem.
You're supposed to eat.
Now, what other question do you think might weigh in on this? What other question do you think might be relevant for this? that we've seen so far, before you see questions we haven't seen, what have we already seen that might be relevant to understanding this? We saw it today. The machloket of Derech Hillel or not, right? Right? Meaning, why, right? It may be that if it's really Kadosh, and we're really comparing to Kedusha, so by Kedusha, how do you redeem it? You redeem it. And then maybe here we redeem it even Derech Mekachol Memkar. But if you say that, what do you mean? You can't redeem it the way you redeem anything else Kadosh. It has its own rules. Right? There's a redemption process, but it's only through sale, but not through chilul. So then you might look at it and say, well, that is a model that we don't have anywhere in actual Kadosh. We don't have that. If anything, it's the opposite. You can be machal things, derech chilul, right? You can redeem it. Right, so at some level, it could be that there's machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Elazar. Right? It could be, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay, but let's just sort of, today, let's just try to get things down. Okay? So, the Gemara then continues. So the Gemara then asks, essentially, our question, which is, wait a second. If you're comparing it to Kodesh, right, to Kodesh, rather, then what's the halacha by Kodesh? That when you redeem it, you have removed the Kedusha from the original, and you have now imbued the new thing with that Kedusha. And so shouldn't that be true by Shemitah? Talmud Lomar, Tihya. Gemara says, no, Tihya, Bahavaya Teh, it remains in its state.
Doesn't Talmud Lomar usually kind of teach you a Kedusha, which is the
Oh, very good. So now the million-dollar question is what is exactly what Kobe says, which is you've always got to ask. Okay, let's follow the logic of the Gemara. The Gemara says we compare it to Kedusha. There's two possibilities. One is that it is Kadosh. The other is that it's similar to Kedusha, right? As right, but it's not actual Kedusha, right? So then, as we said, what's the Kasha? The Gemara challenges it and says, how could you say it's actually Kadosh? Actual Kedusha, when you redeem it, you remove the Kedusha from the original object and imbue the latter object with the Kedusha. But by Shemitah, the original one retains its Kedusha. And
it's not actual Kedusha.
So the Gemara then says, Talmud Lomar, Tihyeh Bava Yatatehe. No, there's a Gzeret HaKatuv. Now, what's always the problem when you have a Gzeret HaKatuv? What do you have to figure out? What is the Drasha doing? There are two possibilities of what the drasha is doing.
Change your view or to tell you there's an exception.
Very good. Right, exactly as Kobe said. There's two possibilities. It could be, how could you say it's really Kadosh? It's different than Kedusha. Answer, the Gzeret HaKatuv tells you that it's not really Kadosh. Right, the fact that it retains its quote-unquote Kedusha shows you that it's not the same as normal Kedusha.
If you know it's not Kedusha, you have this principle.
We don't know that. So the Gzeret HaKatuv can either come and teach you that these are in fact distinct fundamentally, or they can say, no, they're similar, but there's an exception. Right? So what's the Gemara's conclusion? Right? The Gemara says, this is exactly like Kadosh. Right? Kodesh. Then the Gemara says, it's not exactly like Kodesh. Right, so now, when the Gemara brings the Gzeret HaKatuv, there's two ways you could take it. One is, no, it really is Kodesh, but there's an exception. Right, there's an exception. Don't ask me why, it's Gzeret HaKatuv. Right, meaning, this is exactly like Pidyon Maaser Sheni, except that the Torah tells you, for whatever reason, we don't understand, that the original Shemitah produce remains Kodesh also. Or do you say that, no, the fact that it has this fundamental distinction shows you that essentially, fundamentally, these are not the same. Right? But that's it. Kobe's exactly right. And then the Gemara quotes the same discussion we had in Yerushalmi. HaKetzad, Lokach Peirot Shvi'it Basar, Elo Ve'el Barin B'Shvi'it, Lokach Basar B'Dagim, Yatsa Basar B'Nechnas Dagim, Lokach Bidagim yayin, yatu dagim nechnas yayin, lakach b'yayin shemen, yatsa yayin nechnas shemen, haketzar acharon, acharon nechnas b'shvi'it, upri atzmo asur. Okay? Good? So which is it? Right? So let's try to explain. So our goal is to figure out what is the nature of Kedushat Shvi'it in this context, and how do we explain Maskana, this weird formulation, that even though it shares certain qualities with normal Kedusha, its redemption never allows the original orange, wherever it went, right, to shed its Kedusha, but Achron Achron Nitras. Right, then in addition to the original orange, the last object, right, the first and last, but nothing in the middle, is Kadosh. Right? So what is the nature of the Kedusha, and how is that going to explain this weird halacha? Okay? Right, that's what we want to figure out. So this is a very short piece out of the Rishimot. If you look at the actual Rishimot, it is much, 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 much longer. I pulled out my my hard copy of the Rishimot. It's longer.
How much longer?
It's longer.
How many pages?
It's a few pages of those big pages. You know the Rishimot?
The two columns?
Yeah, exactly. It's a few pages of a few columns. Okay, it's long. It's not as long as it could be. He has longer pieces, but so the Rishimot Shiurim is. Exactly what it sounds like. It is notes that from the Rav Shir by Rabbi Reichman. I have a feeling, Steiner. Okay. Okay. So the Rav offers several possibilities of how to explain it, and this cuts exactly to the possibilities that we raised. Okay, so the Rav says, Nira, what's the difference? So Nira Shahdel ben Hektish Lishvit bidin pri rishon, Shahektish Yotse Lichulin Velo Shvit. What's the difference? Such that Shvit, the first original fruit, does not lose its Kedusha. But by Meiser Shani, by other Kadosh, it does, let's say. Right, why not? First possibility, the Rav suggests, is Shemitah is different than regular Hektish because the Kedusha is B'Kedushat Peh. What does that mean?
You consecrate it with your
mouth. Yeah, you consecrated it with, right, verbally. Shemitah, you don't have to sanctify it. It is sanctified. Ukdusha haba me'eleha eina mitchalelet mi'apri arishon le'olam. And kedusha that it comes of its own accord, or which is therefore presumably intrinsic, is eternal. So the first possibility the Rav suggests is, right, going back to Kobi's question, this first formulation by the Rav, what is he suggesting? Is he suggesting that Shviat is actually kadosh, yes or no? Yes. They're both actual kadosh, and Shviat is super kadosh, right? Then Shemitah. According to the Rav's first formulation, what is he saying? They're both kadosh. The difference is that Shemitah is super kadosh, right? Super kadosh, right? Because it's intrinsic, right? You didn't sanctify it, and basically, if you sanctified it, then you can totally desacralize it. If you didn't sanctify it, then you can only create secondary Kedusha, but you can't remove the second one, correct.
Which is weird.
And that's why the second one can move.
The second one is not the same, though. Correct. Right, and there he says, so that's the next line.
So what's the difference between the first and second? The original Perot Shvi'it is from God. And the second fruit, the Kedusha, was created by
man. And therefore, mishum kach, behektish, to have a davar ha-nadur, shave parishon l'prisheni. Dagdusha pre-rishon, dehektish, mitavel yidei ma'aseh, no der, v'lo chalam elam, and ha-shamayim, and therefore, the second fruit is similar in other cases of Kedusha where you were Makdusha to the later things in the Shemitah process. So the Rav's first formulation is building on the assumption that the Kedusha that we're talking about with Perot Shviit is actual Kedusha, and not just actual Kedusha, but more Kadosh than Kodesh. Right? More Kodesh than Kodesh. More Kadosh than Kodesh. More Kadosh. I'm getting tongue-tied here. Right? It's holier than the holy. Fine? Meaning, not only is it Kodesh, not only is it holy, it's Kedusha plus, because it's intrinsic. And therefore, the second fruit, the one which got secondary Kedusha, which was created by, I don't even remember who was buying and selling at this point, but whoever created it, it was either me or Josh or Kobe or Mordechai or whatever, or David at some point, whatever it was, whoever did it. The secondary Kedusha, is created Kedusha, and therefore it can be fully removed and transferred on to the next food in the chain. But the original fruit, because its Kedusha was intrinsic, it was from God, it wasn't done through the Ma'ase Adam, therefore people don't have the ability to remove Kedusha. So the Rav's first formulation, going back to Kobe's question to the Gemara, is that when the Gemara compares Shviyat to Kedusha, it's saying not only is it Kadosh, but Bahavayata Tehei is telling you it's Kodesh plus. It's an exception. It's Kodesh. It's super Kodesh. Super holy. Okay? So going back to that discussion on in Perek Dalet, is Shemitah wholly holy or designated or something else? The Rav's first formulation is that what the sugya of Kedusha Daman teaches you is that it's holy plus. It's super holy. What? Yep.
Isn't that the same thing as like the Kalim and the Mikdash?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Right, and that would be like, as Mordechai noted, we have evidence of things like that by Tzmura, where the original Karban remains Kadosh and the second one becomes Kodesh also. Hu Tzmura Da'iyah Kodesh. We have it by the sugya of Mi'ilah by Kalim, where nothing you can do can remove the Kedusha and the Kalim.
Right.
There are things that are intrinsic, right? And that you can keep being Moel, right? There are certain types of Mi'ilah, let's say, that when you misuse it, it removes the Kedusha, and certain things where it doesn't, that it is impervious to removing the Kedusha, and therefore each time you use it, it's considered a violation. So yes, we have parallels. So that's possibility one, okay? The Rav's second possibility is, Oditachain, second possibility, Lomar, Shebepidyon Dvarim Kidoshim, when you redeem holy things, Yishte Halachot. There's two separate laws. Din Kinyan, Viden Tvisa Damim. There's the acquisition, and the Kedusha of the money. The Hektish Chalapidyon Mitam Kinyan Alpig Zeradakatu. When it comes to Hektish, these are tied together. Vinatata Kesav Vitakam Lo. Second possibility is, for the Rav, that Kedusha, everything happens together, right? There's the Kinyan, there's the acquisition, and there's the money becoming Kadosh. And in regular Kedusha, those automatically happen together. Whereby Shviyat, they don't. Right? There's two halachot. There's chilul, and there's tfisat damim. Right? Similar to the way Mordechai noted by Tzmura. Right? By Tzmura, there's only tfisat damim, as it were. Right? You have the ability to create new Kedusha, but what you don't have the ability is to take away Kedusha. Now, so the Rav now has two formulations. Again, the first possibility is that Shemitah, where the Kedusha is created not by you, but by God, it's super Kadosh. And the second possibility, what would you say? According to the Rav, on that same question, is Kedushat Peirot Shviyat real Kedusha, according to the Rav, in the second formulation? I think so. I think the Rav maintains in both possibilities that this is real Kedusha. But his second one is that it's only different in the sense that Kodesh There's two halachot. It's owned by Kodesh, right? It belongs to the, right, if you want to look at Bezalel's summary, right? Which is, Hekdesh Oved B'Shnei Mishurim. Hekdesh works at two levels. Masha Hukdesh Kodesh. Holy things are holy. Vu B'Bailut Shel Hekdesh. And they're owned by God. And therefore, when you remove one, you remove both. The ownership and the Kiddusha. But Peiradash V'et L'umadzot Einam B'Bailut Shel Hekdesh. It's holy, but it's not owned by God, or by the Beit HaMikdash. Ella sheyesh aleihem chalut shel kedushat tviyah. It just has the status of kedusha. So kasher hekdesh nifdeh. So when it is redeemed, hu yotze mi ba'alu ta hekdesh. It is, it removes its kedusha. Kedusha dosara. Ach kasher perot tviyah niknim. But when you buy perot tviyah, abaylut einam ashpial alachot achalot ala perot kmo kedushatan. Okay? Within the Rav, though, both of his formulations assume that the Kiddusha of Peirot Shviyot seems to be real Kiddusha. Right? It's real Kiddusha. And his two formulations, either it's Kiddusha plus, or he seems to have two possibilities, Kiddusha plus or Kiddusha minus. Right? First possibility is it's Kiddusha plus. The second one is no, it's actually, it's sort of less Kadosh, meaning it's Kadosh, or its Kiddusha is not linked to its being owned by the Beit HaMikdash. It is Kadosh if the Kiddusha is linked to the fact that it's owned by the Beit HaMikdash. So once you remove it from the property of the Beit HaMikdash, you also remove its Kiddusha. By Shemitah, it is Kadosh, but it doesn't have that element. So therefore, the Kiddusha is, again, intrinsic and not tied to its ownership by the Beit HaMikdash. But both formulations by the Rav seem to assume that at some level the Kedusha we're talking about is real Kadosh, either Kedusha plus or Kedusha that is not defined by its ownership with the Mikdash. Right? However, right, I am a little bit partial to a different formulation, I'll be honest, and that is what you have here from Blumenzweig. So for Blumenzweig, I meant to bring it in today. Reb Blumenzweig is the Rosh Yeshiva at, the founding Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshivat Yerucham, Yeshivat Hezder Yerucham. It's, if you go south into the middle of nowhere, to the middle of the desert, go into the middle of nowhere and turn left, exactly. You will find Yerucham. Yerucham is, okay.
Is it a town?
So Yerucham is a city. So Yerucham is a city in the middle of the desert, which,
in the negative,
like 25 minutes south of Be'er Sheva or something. That if you know anything about some of Israel's not so pleasant history of how they treated Sephardim, not evicted. It's where they brought people off, you know, the boat from like Morocco or Yemen or something, and they said, we would like to go to Tel Aviv. And they said, okay, and they put them on the bus and dropped them in the middle of the desert and said, this is Tel Aviv, right? It wasn't. Yerucham is one of those towns. It's like it was for a very long time, a very impoverished town in the middle of nowhere. So at some point years ago, Rav Blumenzweig went down there to build a yeshiva to build it up a little bit.
Place, and the person who runs the yeshiva is called Blumenzweig?
No, so this was like a long time ago, but it was because of its history, it really was like a very impoverished town. So at some point, and this happens, a lot of yeshivot in Israel are built this way, is that yeshivot open to try to strengthen the community. Because if you bring a yeshiva and then you have kol guys who move, right, and
they move and then they need to buy stuff.
Exactly. You build a kol, you build a community, whatever. So Yerucham is one of those. It is a super serious place. I went there many years ago when I was in Gush. We spent a Shabbos there because Reb Blumenzweig, before he was in Yerucham, was a Ram in Gush. He was one of Lichtenstein's prime Talmidim. Ravarn, when he talks about his trial shear in Gush many, 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 many years ago, he still talks about the brilliant, blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid, the brilliant one sitting in the front who was Reb Blumenzweig. And like I remember him telling the story once and he started like crying. Like he like really loves Reb Blumenzweig. He really, really loves Reb Blumenzweig. Reb Blumenzweig is really wonderful. So Tarragon took us for a Shabbos there. It was really serious. So we did Kabbalat Shabbat out in the middle of nowhere, right? Like in the desert, we just like walked out of the city.
Is that Hesper Yeshiva?
Yes. And did Kabbalah Shabbat on a mountaintop in the desert? At what? No, no. This is like a good. This is like a Atilumi, like in the Gush world of Yeshiva Hesder. And then we were already like after this long Kabbalah Shabbat dancing out in the desert for whatever. It's night in the desert. It's cool. You wear a jacket. We were ready for Shabbos dinner. But no, there was a sicha, and then an hour of seder before dinner on Friday
wow.
night. This is like
and then after dinner was the seder
also. Yes, yeah, yeah. It's a really intense place. So Blumenzweig is the great place, really, really amazing. So Rav Bezalel, who made these, went to Yerucha. It's a lot of fun. So they put together, he didn't write it, but his Talmidim didn't put together like Chaburas he gave one summer on Shviit. It's a very nice little book. I take credit because even though Rav Bezalel is a student of Blumenzweig, he did not have the book. And I was like, how could he be writing on Shemitah all year? He's your Rebbe. So he borrowed it from me until he got his own. I bought it many years ago, two Shemitahs ago. This, inclusive three from this one. So Reb Blumenzweig asked the same question. He says, why does Kedusha transfer? So he says, many of the Achorim, it's not only Rabbi Soloveitchik, Achorim Taluzop Evdel Mekor HaKedusha. They distinguish between the source of the Kedusha. But he says, this answer of the Rav and other Achorim is problematic. Why? Harim Gam Kedusha Netter Avai Chalameela. There are other kedushot that are intrinsic, that happen by themselves. Lo pulat adam, v'chol zot adam yachol lafkiyaz or lagamrei. And you can remove it, like netter ravai. Right? Netter ravai, things that grow in the fourth year, right? The first 3 years are orla, and the fourth year is called ravai. You have to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. But what are you allowed to do? Redeem it. And that's me'ileha. Anything that grew in the fourth year of the plant is automatically kadosh. And nevertheless, you're allowed to redeem it. So therefore, he says, so what does Reb Blumenzweig say? Reb Blumenzweig says, stop. Stop telling me it's kadosh. Maybe the answer is that it's not kadosh.
Oh.
Why? Because he says, listen, what would bring you to that? He says, yesh koshim isyom agdara peyre kadoshim. There's a problem with calling it holy, holy. What's the problem? How does it? This is modern Hebrew, okay?
Yeah,
we'll practice it. Really?
This is
modern. You learn with. You learn with
Okay.
Bameh hadavar mitbatei. How is this expressed? Non-Kohanim, sorry Shlomo, right, are allowed to eat it, right? Which is not true of Kadosh things, but we are allowed to eat Peretiv. You can't hog it, Shlomo. It's for all of us. V'nitan l'achol mitumah. And you're allowed to eat it when you're tameh. Ha'im ha'kedusha ba'al lidei bitui rak Tvisata, maybe he says, is this the only expression of its Kedusha? I mean, it's not. We saw possibilities of the bathing. But still, like, most of the normal features of Kedusha do not apply to Shviit. And the Davar Kasher, Regama Voda Zara Tofeset Damea. And he says, besides, Tofeset Damea isn't a law only in Kadosh, in Kedusha. Avoda Zara also. If you buy something, right? If you buy Avoda Zara, what happens to the money? It's usher, like Avod Zara, Tofeset et Amea, right? So he has two questions. One is, Shemitah doesn't fit the normal rules of Kedusha, and Tfisat Damim isn't limited to cases of Kedusha, right? It's true by Avod Zara also. If someone buys Avod Zara, the money also becomes usher, just like the Avod Zara itself. So between the fact that Shemitah doesn't seem to be Kadosh, and the fact that Tfisat Damim is not a local Kedusha halacha, so what does he say? And therefore, maybe the answer is that Kedusha per Shviit is not Kedusha. What is it? What's the Ud? Designation. It has a purpose. They are designated for a purpose. What is the purpose? This designation is what leads to its status and its Yisurim. And what is the designation? Eat it, don't destroy it. Eat it, don't do business. Ha'isurim einam omdim b'vnei atzmam. The isurim don't stand on their own 2 feet. Ki isuri kilayim chadoma. Ela heim totza'a shel ha'yud.
What is the point of the Yisurim by Shemitah? To ensure that you eat it. Right? La'achla.
Eating is so commonplace.
But he says, you're right. It can't just be that. So we'll say it's more than that. You have to eat it. In what sense are they kadosh? They're not really kadosh, but they're owned by God this year. Right? And that's what makes it you have to eat them. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you not to own it, but to eat it. And now he says, so peir ha-shviyat shayachem ofen b'sisi la-Hashem. It's owned by God. Vayu'ud shalichila ofen bohu tar adam l'shtamesh b'hem. God says they're mine this year, but I'm going to let you eat them. That's their purpose. And as opposed to lumat zot peir neta revai shayachem ofen b'sisi la-Adam. Elash revetzen al gamein mitvar achil lefnei Hashem. As opposed to neta revai, which is kadosh, but who's it belong to? The person. It's just kadosh. So Ravai, you own it, but it's kadosh. So you can remove the kedusha and put in something else. But by Shemitah, you can't do that. You can't. So what is it? What does he argue? He says, maybe this is how it works. Shemitah, I know where my man's going to start. So I'll summarize it. We'll come back to it tomorrow, okay? Is that maybe the key is, right? Again, he says, maybe it's not really Kadosh. Why would you think it's not Kadosh? It doesn't share the normal rules of Kedusha. I, Tfisat Damim, he says, yeah, but Tfisat Damim isn't limited to Kadosh. So maybe what it is that Shemitah isn't really Kadosh. It's designated for eating. It's designated for eating. So why is it that you can, so what can you do? You can expand the chiyuv to eat, but what can you never do? You can't undermine the obligation to eat, but you can't do that, right? You're not allowed to do that. Now, he argues a little bit more. He says, it's the inverse of Kedusha. That Kedusha, let's say Neter Ravai, is owned by the person, but it happens to be Kadosh, and therefore, he can't do whatever he wants because he has to respect the Kedusha. But as long as he transfers the Kedusha, he's allowed to because he owns it. But Shemitah is the opposite. Shemitah is, we're allowed to use it for eating, but it belongs to God. And therefore he says, Dafka, by Shemitah, where it belongs to God and we're allowed to eat it, you can't remove the designation. You can't change the fact that you have to eat it. What you can do is expand the things that you have to eat, but you can't remove it. You can't say that this fruit is not meant to be food. Right? So we'll come back to this tomorrow because Roman's going to start. But now what is this going to connect to? Someone tell me what this will connect to that we already saw, but it's the next source here.
Today?
What?
Or is that today?
We've seen it. No, we saw it many times. Remember, we're going to see the Sheet of the Ramban, the Ritva, that Schora, remember, Schora is only Asur if you buy something that Kedusha doesn't transfer to.
Right.
Because if you transfer the money, then that money can be used to buy food. And as long as you can eat, right? But you see that the Ramban is not thinking in Kedusha terms. What's he thinking in? Eating terms, right? He's thinking about, and that what is Kedusha Damim, therefore? Kedusha Damim is a way of making sure that the money is used for food.
I mean, the Gemara very clearly seems to be talking about a barter system.
Yes. Well, some of them, yes. But yes.
Right. So, well,
It's eating, right? It's eating things, but with Kedusha. So let's come back. But what I want to do is, again, I'll come and we'll repeat this thesis tomorrow. But basically, Blumenzweig's thesis is stop thinking about it as Kedusha. Realize that this is really the inverse of Kedusha, right? Kedusha is something that I own, but has certain holy responsibilities. Shemitah is something I don't own, but I'm allowed to use in certain ways, right? It's not really Kedusha in the same way, and that's how he wants to suggest it, right? So we have the Rav who presents what many Acharonim do, which is, it is Kadosh, but this is how it's distinct from Kedusha. And your Blumenzweig says, no, the fact that the original one never loses its Kedusha, but you can transfer it, shows you that the Kedusha of Peret Shviyat is not really Kedusha, it's you.
So according to Blumenzweig's additional answer, then how does he work with the entire Sfarah that, like,
brachos that we say before eating is us taking, asking God if we can use it, whatever. It's always in God's possession.
Correct.
So how does he...
You mean the sugya there, right? So that sugya is interesting because it really does borrow concepts from Kedusha. Okay, let's come back to it tomorrow, okay?